Welcome back to Talking Stupid. Definitely worth the wait. This time back on Talking Stupid, I've got Dwayne, Shane, and Abon. Unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to our forever bestest boy, Devin. He will not be here today.
Yeah, it turns out if you don't pay the IRS, they come for you. It's a thing.
It's weird that they repossess the kids, though.
That's probably the good part, you know?
All right, guys. You guys have just come back from, you know, the winter hiatus. So just a check-in on how that all went for you guys. Your break from recording, your family time. We'll pretend like, you know, we're coming back from winter break. How is it? How is it getting back in, and what are the highlights of your holidays?
That's pretty loaded. So I'm just going to pick like a couple cool things that happened other than like I had a great holidays. Got a new tattoo. So that was my Christmas present. Can't really see it very well, but yeah.
That's when you posted, though, in the Discord, right?
That's fucking right.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I started a personal project where it's actually uploaded as a draft on a comic website. So I just need to get two more chapters out before the first three drop.
Are you gonna name drop this?
Tease us out with your website?
It's gonna be called Whenever I Feel. And it was just gonna tackle on various things where I feel like I need to talk serious for a second, or maybe sometimes whenever I feel like being silly, or whenever I feel like being mad. It's a rant journal diary comic thing. I don't know. But that vibe. Slice of life shit.
Nice. I'm excited to see.
That's really cool. I can't wait.
Far more productive than my spare time. What's up, Shane Saw?
I can't think of a single thing that happened to me over the holiday break. I'm sitting here thinking.
Did you get your smooch rebate?
Oh, rebates are clear.
Finally made that time for May. It's good to know.
Yes, time was made. Kayla had like a week off. It was awesome. We hung out the whole time. I'm madly in love with her. We have basically love that you are lucky to see every 100 years, let alone experience. So like, pretty much just that.
Who are the two guys on the island? It's like that.
Steve and Eddie. Their name.
Yeah, Steve and Eddie.
Steve and Eddie.
Wish. Wish they could.
Only because they've been at it for like 600 years.
Like those two boys' names are like burned into my soul. That was like the most invested in non-main characters of anything that I've actually ever watched. I've been like, these two better make it, and nothing can happen to them. They are precious. All right. So for anybody listening, just so we don't spoil too much, this should be from episode 67 to current, which I think is 71, 72. But, you know. So I know some of that. The 67, 68, I believe, were pre you guys taking your recording hiatus. So to recap where you guys were at way back in episode 67, we had the all I can call it is the mirror puzzle, or mirrors the new doors. The entire episode dedicated to figuring out how to say hi to Sapphire.
Mm-hmm. This is true. Yeah, reflections.
I'm gonna be honest. I still don't really know how that worked. I was just like, we got there with the power of friendship.
Do you want to know?
I do.
It was basically the idea that, like, whenever you went into the mirror or whatever, you were seeing it, like, in the past. And then when you came out and you were looking in, you were seeing, like, the present or whatever, or vice versa. I'd have to look at my notes. But essentially, every time you went to the mirror, you were taking a time jump. And so that's why, like, when you left the gym in there, over time, it charged a little over years and years and years and years of time.
So they did get to the right solution. It wasn't just mm-hmm. I'm going to give it to him because it's been taking a while.
It was not. I nudged him along to the well, and most puzzles, I wouldn't say there's a right solution. There's just the one that makes the sense in my brain. But sometimes your players come up with shit and you're like, that was way better than what I had planned. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think we see some of that later on, but I don't
know. Yeah, we do. We absolutely do.
So with that, actually, Tasty Pasty 420 over here, one of our beloved box sitters, actually had a question that related to that. So with the portal mirror and its timey-wimey goodness, when they were jumping back and forth, at least when they had all gone into it and they left Gwarp behind, was there a time jump? Was Gwarp there for like hours wondering where they were?
In the mirror puzzle?
Mm-hmm.
No. Like, time wasn't, like, rapidly adjusting. You basically, the mirror was giving you 2 points in time, not doing what the corridors do.
Gotcha. So, yeah, because we did see the corridors. We jumped, 2 years into the future when we got back on that. So I think I was curious about that, too.
Good question, though.
So Shane, Abon, as you guys were going through that mirror puzzle, same kind of idea, was there like points of frustration? Are you like, there's just something we're not getting here? Or when you guys started to figure out the stuff with the stone, were you like, okay, we're on the right path, we just gotta go? How did it feel?
It took me a minute. I definitely went and been like, hey, Dwayne, I need help. Here's my patron. Here's my other thoughts. Like, you were actively seeing my brain work trying to figure this out. But I think it's because I didn't quite have that aha ding moment. Like, yeah, we solved it. That's where I was just like, did we get it? I guess we're moving on. It looks like it's kind of solved.
We fucking did it, I think. Yeah, I get that.
Well, that was kind of my experience. Was I didn't really know what I was like, what the X was that I was solving for. I didn't know what even we did it state looked like. So it was like, it was like trying to solve a puzzle that you just don't understand.
It was also your first experience to the whole gym energy concept that we were laying the groundwork. Oh, not like your first experience, but like the rechargeability and all that stuff. Because, like, obviously you knew to a degree, but so it makes sense. I probably should have done a better job of like leading up to that, but hindsight's a bitch.
And then a short moment after that, Darling reaches out, contacts her patron, and I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think this is the first time her patron has like physically appeared, and you describe him as a goblin in a dapper suit, and I was thrown. I was like, was I the only one not picturing Avon's patron that way? Or
He's come up a couple other times, mm-hmm. at least. He was a Gios Guam when Gios Guam when she first met him.
Huh. Yep. Yeah, he's always changing his like core appearance. Yeah. But one thing that's always like in line with him is that he's always like motherfucker, like to the nines. You know what I mean? Like always dressed well.
Hence the dapper suit. Usually I'm better on details like that. That's my failing, not realizing that he'd actually, for some reason I was thinking he had just been like incorporeal voice in Avon's ear this whole time. So.
I mean, if I turned off this video, I think most people would be.
You fucking asshole. That was good. I like that.
You're welcome.
So this one's kind of just open speculation, because we've had confirmation, right, that the your guys' patron is, you know, brother with Castiel, Sapphire confirmed sister. So obviously related to these dragons. Definitely, though, seems obviously far more concerned with you prioritizing getting Castiel. So just curious, Darling, or even Shane, if you want to shoot in the dark, like, anybody have any ideas why that sibling over the others?
I mean, I can guess.
Yeah, that's what I got of his guess. I think he's maybe the babyest brother. Yeah,
that's the theory.
That's my theory.
Oh, I don't reckon it's an emotional thing. I reckon it's because Cassia has time powers. So, like, if anybody could set right a wrong, it's the dude who can, like, turn back time. So if I had to prioritize one of my siblings over the other, that's what I would do.
So in the Derringer family now, Darling is the one who must be saved above all. She's the one with time powers.
Yeah, she's proven it since.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we get the rest of the Derringers back, maybe, hopefully. But we'll see.
Or hopefully.
Or anybody who lived on Bordon.
Right, that was a hit, I think, like, when I still remember being in that recording, just, like, gasping as Dwayne described, like, and the door fades and loses color, and it was, like, a minute later, I think, Shane, that you were confronting, like, so, everybody that I've ever known, loved, and may never know, and, like, killed everyone? how did that, like, I guess, obviously unexpected, right? But
not for
how
me.
Much does that weigh on saw it coming? But yeah, is that, I mean, it seemed like a rather large weight, especially for Osiris and for Drake. You guys immediately tried to murder Castiel and steal him out of Darling's hands.
Yeah, I mean, I have already gotten enough flack for major NPCs dying and me being responsible. So, one, thank God I wasn't the one who was holding the rock that sucked Goron in. Thank God that wasn't me. Second, I just felt like if I didn't make every effort to get Goron back in play, I would still somehow catch the heat. Unfortunately, that is not the case. And also, it just made sense, like, in character. Like, I'm still trying to reconcile, like, emotionally what that could possibly be like to carry that weight, to be responsible for not just an entire reality in the multiverse winking out of existence, but like your home, like your one. How could you live with yourself? I mean,
yeah,
I think if it weren't for the fact that it's been nonstop action, like nonstop trying to save the day, as it were, just the crushing reality would set in and Drake would implode.
I mean, I feel it, because yeah, it's, I mean, it kind of came out in a silly bit of, you know, siblings all rolling around on the ground scrambling for the gemstone, but what it also, right, was a 100% legitimate reaction to, oh god, what have we just done? Like, that's never happened before. Avon, does Darling feel same way, or has she got that more firm resolve that, like, just knowing time, that we need Castiel to make it right, if ever?
I feel like she's on the stance of, like, we can fix it, right? Like, somehow time is going to work. She doesn't know, because she's a baby Time Lord, but, like, if anyone is there, probably Castiel. Castiel. There's no T in there.
I got you.
Yeah.
See? I infected your brain.
You did it just a second ago, but I was like, we're not calling each other out for that.
That's written all over my papers. Wrong.
but she's definitely on the boat of, like, we can fix it. We're going to have to fix it. Otherwise, if Darling continues to live, she has so many lifetimes to live with that regret, and it's not going to be a great time. And so she has to at least think positively that it's going to get fixed.
And Dwayne, I gotta bring it full circle to you. I know you're not gonna expose it or tell me any answers, but really? You just destroyed our favorite, our birthplace, our homeworld.
You said favorite. I just want everybody to. Started. I just want everybody to hear that. You said okay. Favorite.
Okay. So, like, you know what? I'm going to fully admit there is a smidgen of biases for, and I don't think I'm the only one, for Goron, because it's what every one of the listeners cut their teeth on. It was what introduced us to the Lawful Stupid family, and now it is. No more. How are you gonna do us like that?
It was time. I mean, it was. I mean, like, Goron has a lot of great stories, and you know, as my life evolves and as our life evolves, it's you know, you got to say goodbye to things. And I thought it was just like a perfect time for that, a perfect homage to everything we built, and as we move on to the next generation, so to speak, right? Avon is about to cut her teeth into this, and so it seemed like a good idea to just close the door.
That's Neko popping off in the chat too, that I was laughing at, because she claims it's only the favorite because we haven't met Avon's world yet.
Oh, that's true.
Too much pressure on me.
Well, that's true. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, Goron goes away, so you have to like Avon's. I'm being a good team. You know what I mean? That's all.
No other choice.
Well, I mean, D&D is team building, so there's
that's
that.
Right. See, I got you.
Honestly, for a split second, I after that, I was like, are they going to wrap up all the other worlds this way and just start a whole fresh multiverse, like Sapphire Seas sucked away, Nova Terra gone, and just be like, nope, reset, C5. Blank slate.
Hey man, I haven't finished C4 yet. You don't know what I'm gonna do to their worlds, okay? I can still fuck with their door. That's all I'm saying. The Grand Magus is hungry.
Chompa chompa.
Speaking of hungry, Shane led us in that episode to believe that clearly we cannot give chocolate to werewolves. Are there any other allergies we need to know about there, Shane?
Silver is a big one.
That's still probably kibble is a killer.
Yeah.
Probably onions also would not be good for me.
What about wine? Especially grape wine.
Yeah, I don't know. Nobody's been whining and dining me since I've become a lycanthrope, so I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, got ideas for the next episode. For the
love interest.
Yeah. So there's still time.
Awesome. As long as you got Avon, there's still time. All right. We did also have, and honestly, it warmed my heart. Maybe I related to this moment for you, Dwayne, a little too much. But they got back. You guys were all talking to the proprietor, and it kicked off with like a, okay, we've got Sapphire. What do we do now? And Dwayne, I feel like you were trying to feed them the whole way, and it was just the struggle bus of like, oh, well, you know, you gotta get to Cassiel's font. Oh, how are we gonna do that? Avon, can you be the font? And like, just, it felt like it was like dripping from your voice, like you've been to a place before, maybe a place where you got time powers before. Like, were you just losing it in your head as you were trying to be like, pick this up, please?
No, I don't think I was. Like, if you sensed that, it was more frustration internally, because like, you know, just like I was talking about with the Sapphire puzzle, it is no secret that, you know, it's almost like we're in the 0 to 60 stretch, right? Like, they're at a point to where it doesn't really make sense to run them around this new world with like these minor things when there's such a big thing going on. So if you get frustration there, it's just that like when I see players struggle like that, especially my players, right? I see it as like a failing on the DM to some degree, to especially with such like big conceptual stuff like that. So if there's any frustration, it was just that I feel like I didn't set it up well enough to feed them.
I might have explained that wrong, because it didn't feel frustration so much as like
it might have been for the listener. Like,
granted, like,
it's fucking time, Tempo.
Hey, when I can almost read it on your face, so I have to ask. When that finally hit you guys, like, oh, the time temple! Like, how did, you know, what was going through your guys' head when you finally got there?
It was definitely like, God, why didn't I think of that? Like, Dwayne was spelling it out, and how did I not catch it? But part of me was just thinking, maybe it's just because I wasn't thinking that was part of the table, like, to go back. When we first got there, we went through like a window by the Grand Magus. So
yeah, so you weren't really sure where it was. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So like finding her way back on her own, she kind of stumbled out of it, and Dwayne kind of led me to a point where it was just like she kind of didn't quite remember how all the things happened, because time was happening all the time in the past and the present and the future. So like, I didn't even know she knew how to get back.
It's true.
That's a good point.
Kind of new power sets. Speaking of, unless you guys want to keep any cool new features or things to yourselves, you guys did hit level 14 like an episode back or so after all of that XP was rewarded for destroying Goron. Any cool new things you guys are excited for?
Jarling has tapped into Warlock, so it was level 12 Bard that she went up into. So it was just an ASI increase at that point. I didn't pick up a feat. So it was very simple.
That's because you already had feet.
Yeah.
No, it was Ranger sucks, man. Level 14, you can hide as a bonus action, like a level 2 rogue or a level 1 wood elf. Like, fucking who gives a shit, dude? Whatever.
Well, that puts you what, one away now though from well, I guess Gorp can fly you now.
Exactly. You figured it out.
But if he ever loses the gems, then in another level, he can fly you again.
That's true.
Speaking of, I think he was the stealer of the show for that. And when you came up with that idea, that's what I was referring to earlier, right? Was what I have to assume was purely like a rule of cool moment for Dwayne when Shane, you're like, I'm gonna pop this gem in Gorp's mouth and see what happens. And
oh yeah, hey, 100% rule of cool. Like nothing, you know. It's one of those things where you have like an end state in mind. Like how does this happen? And I had not yet solved for, you know, that final conflict, what that looks like, and how you like, you know, utilize these things they've been chasing. I had a couple ideas that wasn't even on the radar, and it should have been. So when he said it, I was like, oh fuck yes, that's the train tracks we're riding. So
right, the instant you were doing the proprietor, and you're like, hell yeah, I like this idea. It's like, yep.
Yeah, that was truly Dwayne speaking to the bride.
Right.
That's right. I was channeling it. Yep.
That was pure gold. Were you, I have to imagine, Shane, you were, or at least Drake, super satisfied with like seeing that plan play out.
You know what? I stand by that move like to my death, because I wasn't like throwing, you know, spaghetti at the wall to see what stuck. It's I was calculated. I was like, we have these gems. The Grand Magus is eating them. He's channeling the power. We don't have like a staff or a necklace we can slot these gems in to channel their power. We're going to click them together. And I was like, here's Gorp. He's just a dragon. He's just a draconic spirit.
I mean, it made sense, right?
He's the perfect conduit for this grand draconic energy, because he just is that already.
Right. No, I think that was like Avon said, that's the beauty of it, is like it perfectly, like there's nothing that seems like it's like breaking immersion to think like, yes, this worked. It just, I don't think anyone could have seen it coming, you know, until it happened. And, you know, I'm gonna assume unintentional, maybe subconscious, but like, it's rather prophetic that, you know, your last character that you had retired to go home to his doomed world was, you know, philosophy of nom or be nommed, and the solution was Gorp nomming. So
forever. Mm-hmm. That's if there's anything, if there's one lesson to be learned from campaign 4, if you're asking me, nom or be nommed, dude.
Nom or be nommed.
Yeah, I don't think there can be a different moral to the story at this point.
I think that's just Lawful Stupid's new motto, you know, Lawful Stupid, nom or be nommed. Also, if it has a mouth, it has a butt. If it has a butt, we can kill it. All of yeah. those seem like very...
Every very rule useful. Has an exception. I want to make this so clear that Gorp doesn't poop. I really, 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 really want everyone to know that his waste system, his conversion to of food, and first of all, he doesn't need to eat. That's not a requirement that he has at all. He does it only for comedic effect, or when he wants to, when he thinks it'll be really, really tasty, or if he needs power to defeat the Grand Magus, I guess. But his system is really, really, really efficient, and there's zero waste. And there's just a little bit, and it gets expelled when he uses his breath weapon. It's part of the acid. So
he poops out his mouth. Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right, I'll take it.
I mean, sure. Yeah.
Well, that's anyway. A much harder butthole to shove things in. So. It's got sharp it's teeth really. And
it kind of just is a big open mouth. If you
I'm
think
just
about
saying,
it.
It's got breath weapons coming out of it. Like,
That will be a great one of those knit dolls. A Vorpun who's just a big open mouth. Like, he's just a round ball with little legs and little wings, and he's just a big open mouth, like his tongue and his teeth. Ugh.
That'd be a really good anagrammy. That's the next one we do.
Every RPG player knows that the scariest final boss isn't Tiamat, Vecna, or Orcus. Why? It's none other than scheduling a game! That foul beast! It's no one's fault they can't make it, Tim. So how do we get a game together that is exciting, fresh, and worth exploring? The answer is plainly... Roleplay Revolution! Roleplay Revolution allows you to generate ready-to-run adventures in minutes. It comes complete with NPCs, monsters, maps, and more. What a hoot! Your adventures can be highly complex for even the most intelligent, or as simple as you require. Isn't that right, Timmy? Roleplay Revolution has powerful tools that let you tweak your adventure after initial creation, so don't worry about all those last-minute great ideas that you come up with. You start by just throwing out some of your favorite themes, movies, games, etc., just to get the juices flowing a bit. Want to mix high fantasy with your favorite RPG title? Go crazy! A mustachioed plumbing brothers and steampunk? You got it. Your imagination is the limitation. Roleplay Revolution allows you to create the game you'd love to run, but just don't have the time to write. To spice it up even more, let's assume that Tim and your other quote-unquote friends are indisposed for a long period of time. Never fear! Roleplay Revolution has an AI-powered DM named Oracle. That's nice. That will never leave and keep its time commitments. Oracle will run the adventures you generate for you. You can run the adventures solo with Oracle, or have a GM for you and your friends. It's free to try, but we, Lawful Stupid, hope you'll hear this and go for the annual subscription. If you purchase the annual subscription and use the code LAWFULSTUPID at checkout, you'll get a whopping 20% off the total price. Head on over to roleplayrev.com and let the games begin.
So, in hindsight, we'll say I got to pick on Gus because Darling is still alive. Gus went home to be with May. Now, if we throw Gus in limbo and he has, you know, foresight of everything that played out ever since he went back home, is he happy with the choice he made? Or does Gus feel like my wife and everything else might have still been alive if I had stuck with Darling?
No, if he stuck with Darling, he would have just been on the other side of the stone, right? Like, he May would be gone. His whole family would be gone. Everything that he'd built would be over. If he knew that it was coming and he could do it all over again, he would still spend every second he could with May. So,
I love that answer. I do think the way you played Gus, yeah, he would be wrecked at that moment. You'd just be dragging along a lump of panda to whatever happened next.
I'd have gone a lot worse.
So the plan for Gus was always if he ever lost May, he would lose his sense of taste, and he would become just a beast driven by hunger.
Um,
That was always the plan, but it didn't work out that way. So thank goodness.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't need to see the dark side of Gus. I can live happier with that.
I now have some regrets about how I handled season one. Unrelated, you know.
He would start eating people too. Just so everybody's tracking. That means he would. The twice baked soul rules don't exist anymore.
It would be the subclass of the Soylent Green.
is there an Oathbreaker Druid class in the Brooder?
There's about to be.
Maybe.
Circle Breaker?
Perhaps.
Heartbreaker.
Or would you become a square?
Don't you mess around. Anyway,
so. Alright. And then, the highlight of the next moment in time, the next episode, is you guys just trash talking Wen into showing his face.
Wait a second. Everybody pause. Nico, what happened?
Oh, yeah. We were joking about the circle and breaking it, and I was just like, well, what if you just become a square?
I missed that in the shuffle, and I'm glad that we stopped to go back. That's good. Sorry. Anyway, Zebra, continue.
No, just everybody was on board with just trashing on Wen until he showed his face up. Although he did eventually, you know, give himself over to Gorp, but. I guess the curiosity for me on that front is, you know, there was some talk when everyone was back in Goron, right, of things behind the scenes happening with Ea and the other gods, but we haven't actually seen really any of the characters' feelings towards the divinities all season. Obviously, they none of them hold Wen in high revere by the sound of it. But just any kind of character insight headspace on Wen or the other gods of Goron.
Yeah, man. Wen, get out of here, you stick bastard, is a really funny line.
I'm gonna save some fucking trees.
if that means I had to sacrifice some veneration for a deity in front of my face to break some character immersion, so fucking be it. I don't know. Me, Shane, I feel like I know Wen. Like, I feel like I've known him. Yeah. I've fucked around with him before. my buddy's a god too. My buddy Atlas, like, my personal friend, Scott Shane's friend, Atlas. I was not in character in that moment. With a deity before, you should probably act a little different. But,
I don't know. Of all the deities to, like, do that with, that's probably the most acceptable one, right? Because, like, while he's vindictive, while he's pretty vindictive, he like takes a bunch of shit because he gives a bunch of shit, right? Like, Rowan makes a perfect example of that.
I mean, for Darling's headspace, the other three, four of them. She couldn't really care less about Wen, though. Like, she has a particular soft spot for him because he's the god of stories. Not like she'll go out and be like, ah, yes, I'll go to your place of worship and pray to you and all that stuff. She's like, nah, I do what bards do. I go tell my stories, sing my songs and stuff like that. So, like, she's more appreciative of him, but because she's familiar with stories and he's kind of more down to earth in his stories, it's like, yeah, I'll poke fun at you. You give shit to all your other characters, like I can too, back to you, nerd. Plus, she's also a Time Lord, like She's almost on par.
Yeah, I feel like the events of like the Heroes of Goron Saga campaign one really humbled the gods in a way, because like, you know, Atlas, this you know, hero was able, this mortal was able to ascend to godhood, and you know, there was a lot of intermixing between, you know, divine and mortal during that conflict. And I think that it kind of, I don't know, bridged the gap a little bit for the zeitgeist in Goron. Like, the gods were a little bit closer to Earth after that.
I feel that. All right. I do want to spend a little bit more time on what I, you know, the last episode that was, because that fight was whew. So and I think we're running close on time, so I'm going to just throw out one final question, because I don't think we truly have a clue, and I haven't heard anybody speculate too much, but you know, you guys did run into Grand Magus for a hot second. He wasn't brazenly like aggressive towards you guys. I mean, it was, no, just give me the stone, right? I mean, one would think with the power that he wields, like, he could have fingered a death to you guys on the spot, right? So
mm-hmm.
Ooh, Jake's showing off them high HP.
Same.
But anybody, like, anybody have feelings on what he is up to, and you know, why, like, I guess the why of why he must be stopped, aside from like, we don't like him killing off the current regime in control of the universe.
We had that moment. Like, we had, like, maybe the Grand Magus is like, maybe he's right. Like,
yeah.
Maybe,
yeah. Maybe, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to say, honestly. I think that to an extent, the idea is, you know, like Darling said, the hope of getting Goron back. I think that doesn't happen without us having all the stones. I don't think without having all that power in one spot, we have any chance of mending what was broken, I'll say.
Right. Yeah, it feels like it's been that, like, consecutive, like, we don't have a problem necessarily with his plans, but Mofo lied to us and left our brother in a coma, or at least that's what it appeared to be, ran off with the cradle, want to go get the cradle back, mm-hmm. And then, yeah, now Goron's busted up. Avon, any Darling theories?
She's not sure why he's doing what he's doing. Something where you need enough power, you're gonna sacrifice a lot. I mean, even Goron's gone. But to go and fuck up other people's worlds, to go fix your own problem, she's kind of like, that's fucked up. My home's gone. These other doors are broken. I don't even know where you're supposed to come from. He's the grandest of Maguses, but she's never heard of him and Goron.
Yeah,
so we don't know. He's not from here. So it's you should have kept your problems behind your door, and you tampered with things you shouldn't have. Vibe.
All right, Dwayne, what's his deal? What's he about?
I'm glad you asked. So we're running up on time.
And that's where we'll end this episode.
Right.
Facts.
Dwayne gets you with the cliffhanger even on the talking stupid. Damn. Yeah.
It's my superpower. That world building.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Avon, you just made me ponder for a hot second with the, we don't know where the Grand Magus came from. We do know that there is one dead door already before Goron. Is his world the one that got offed and he's wanting to bring it back?
Surely that's the deal, right?
I hadn't literally put those two together until Avon just said that we don't know where he's from.
Do you guys want a tasty taste? I'll give you a tasty taste of something you're forgetting.
Just a little crumb, sure.
Sure.
There were multiple doors without color in them that you guys discovered when you were walking by, but you didn't think anything of it.
Because we didn't know. And now we know you didn't understand.
Because in fact, I made reference to some of those having like cracks in their pane.
Mm-hmm. Some of them have the window completely gone.
There's other questions too, right? Like the fiends, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were coming through the doors. Where did they come from? Where else have they gone? What impact have they had? Is it related to the Grand Magus and where he comes from? And
we still in the doors of Goron? Dwayne's been long conning us the whole time.
We found the back door.
Oh God, you
Ava, you're not Devin. You're not Devin.
I so would nice. Never.
Remember, you guys set standards.
Devin's the back door. Shane's the kill your friend.
Other people's bits.
I think they just defaulted you with tails. We gotta get Ava on a more relevant thing that everyone can give her sass for.
Well, we're about to enter C5, so we'll see.
How many tails does Darling have now? Do you have like 14 tails?
5.
Oh, okay.
Once you split off to Warlock, that just broke the Fae. It's like, no more tails for you.
Well, thank you guys. I appreciate you letting me do this and pick your brains.
Yeah, it's fun. I enjoy it.
Unfortunately, I got no cleverness to close this out, so we'll just say we love you. Bye.
We love you.
We love you.
Love you.
Bye. Bye.
Stupid. Well, hopefully, keep on chatting about any D&D thing people want to have. Well, hopefully, keep on chatting about any D&D thing people want to have.
Stupid. Stupid. Definitely worth the wait.